Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. About 1,000 people move to Texas every day. It is a booming state. All these people, they need houses, we need roads, and we need raw materials to build those houses and roads. And many of those, much of that raw materials are coming from quarries that all around us, the quarries that are mining limestone and caliche and all sorts of other hard rock products. But these quarries, while we're seeing an expansion of these quarries, is the state keeping up with the regulation and the permitting and making sure that these quarries are following the rules to in order to protect the environment and protect the property rights of the neighbors all around them? That's the question that Brian Chasnoff asked. He is investigative reporter for the San Antonio Express News. And welcome back to The Source, Brian Chasnoff.
Thank you for having me.
If you've got a question or a comment, got a question, quarry questions, you can send us a tweet at TPRSource, email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can also send us a text message at 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So Brian Chasnoff, who's in charge of permitting and regulating these quarries?
That's the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, the state environmental agency.
Now, I have had my dealings with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, and they have told me straight up that they are in the business of issuing permits. If you are qualified, you get the permit. And so a lot of these quarries, they qualify.
That's right. I mean, one of the things I found through the course of my reporting was that it is quite easy to get an air permit at a quarry. And the TCEQ specifically permits equipment at quarries, such as rock crushing machines. In the past decade, they've denied only 9 out of more than 4,500 applications for these air permits at quarries.
So they're titled the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. They should be retitled the Texas Commission on Issuing Permits.
Well, hey, you know, that's an editorial comment.
Right. So there are a number of areas that people who live near these quarries have to deal with. Questions of like air quality, water use, waterway contamination, right. Long-term landscape destruction, a lot of trucking going on all of the time, just nuisances like explosions and the shaking of the ground, the dust that's in the air. There's a lot going on at these quarries, and it's 24/7 frequently.
That's right. And these sites can grow to be thousands of acres. And, you know, just to give people, your listeners, an idea of the scope of this, there's more than 1,000 active quarries in the state. And in the Hill Country, there's 142 registered quarries. So yes, there a lot happens on site. That there are controlled blasts in order to loosen the rock, largely limestone in the Hill Country, which is a key ingredient in cement. They dig up these rocks, they move them, they crush them, stockpile them, and a lot of times these quarries are actually located near creeks and rivers, and that was a large part of my project was focused on what are some of the impacts on these waterways. And, you know, that oftentimes for certain quarries, you know, the earthen berms and water control structures that they build to keep stormwater out of the waterways before it's treated, these structures fail. And that means sediment will go into the creeks and the rivers, and that can have some pretty dramatic impacts.
Right. Sediment is an inert substance. It's not in and of itself toxic, but it can be like a sludgy, goopy type of a product that could kill vegetation and other forms of life that are in the natural area.
Well, right, and I was surprised actually at some of the impacts on rivers. I mean, you have one quarry that is located along the Colorado River in Travis County, just east of Austin, and you know, over the course of many years, this particular quarry was its berms were failing, and during flood events, some of the stormwater in its mining pits would flood into the river and vice versa. And over time, even if you just look at the Google Earth imagery over time, you can see that the course of the river, especially in close proximity to this quarry, was altered. And you know, I spoke to an expert who said that when you mess with this, what he called the sediment budget, the amount of sediment in a river, that can actually alter the river's course and worsen flooding and erosion. And that has some real you know, serious impacts for residents who live along the opposite bank from the quarry.
Right. So the sediment budget would be there's an amount where a stream can move sediment down the stream and it can remove it. But then if you overload how much it can remove, then you have this buildup of sediment and then the water continues to flow and you will alter the direction of where that water goes. And it could go into someone else's property. It could eat away at a bank that someone would have that where their house is.
Yes, that's how it was explained to me by a sedimentologist who specializes in that science. Yes,
and so that's the concern. So a lot of people look at these quarries. They see everything that's happened. If they live near a quarry, they're going to be come in contact with a lot of dust. And so I think really we need to let people know what's in that dust. Should they be concerned about silica?
Well, right. So there is silica in limestone dust. And of course, you know, you can distinguish, you know, the size of the particle matters. If it's small enough, it can penetrate the respiratory system and potentially cause diseases such as, you know, lung cancer, stroke, silicosis, and so forth. And that's why there are, you know, federal standards in place to ensure that concentrations of particulate matter are not hazardous. Now, the issue with quarries in Texas is that the air is not monitored at quarries. The TCEQ does operate regional air monitors. There are 76 of them scattered across the state, but there is no monitoring of air quality at quarries. And so if you look in the past couple sessions of the legislature, you'll see really a bipartisan effort taking place to more closely monitor these sites so that, you know, when dust does blanket nearby homes, which does happen, the TCEQ would be able to go in there and actually have a measurement of how much particulate matter was in the air and whether or not it was a hazardous concentration.
I have an email from Becky. Is the quarry at 1604 in Northeast Military considered hill country? 3 o'clock every day, kaboom.
Well, so the way that I approached the project was I looked at quarries, any quarry inside of a 17-county region that is traditionally considered the hill country, and that does include Bexar County. But yes, the explosions were one issue that came up quite often among the residents I spoke with, and especially in Garden Ridge, I kind of homed in on Garden Ridge, which is, you know, this bedroom community northeast of San Antonio that actually grew up around a quarry, the Servtex quarry that has been in operation for nearly a century. A lot of the quarries that have come up are new. There's been a 65% increase in the number of quarries in the past 7 years, I think. But some of these quarries have been around for almost 100 years, and that's one of them. And the residents there they actually have a quarry commission that the city of Garden Ridge has, and residents can regularly log complaints. And by far, the biggest complaint is just the explosions that they say shake and rattle their homes.
When you looked at the documents from the TCEQ, the complainants were blacked out. You couldn't see their names.
Right.
Why is that secret?
That's probably a question for the TCEQ. I mean, I had to work around that in my reporting, which meant, you know, getting on the road and traveling to the sites that I determined were especially problematic. And that was an aspect of the project I don't think I brought up. The crux of the project was this idea that there are certain quarries that are repeat violators that commit the same violations over and over again, despite an enforcement process by the TCEQ that, you know, the TCEQ will come in and give them a notice of violation, and then the same violation will happen again shortly thereafter.
So, but this is a people story, really. We're talking about regulations, we're talking about rocks and holes in the ground, but really this is something that impacts people. And you came in contact with a lot of interesting people challenged by what is happening around them.
That's right. So, I mean, for example, in Blanco County, I spoke with a woman, Kathleen Wilson, who runs an eco-friendly bed and breakfast out there. She's been there for 3 decades, and, you know, she's very careful to, she cares about environmental sustainability. She has rain catchment systems on her property that, so that she's not drawing water from the aquifer. But a few years ago, a limestone and caliche quarry opened just a few miles from her bed and breakfast at the headwaters of a creek that runs through her property. And she's noticed that the water quality of the creek has suffered since then. And she also has to deal with the dust, you know, falling onto her property.
I have a tweet from Frank. Texas has regulators in name only. TCEQ isn't nearly as protective of our environment as it should be. The corruption of regulators runs deep. We're speaking with Brian Chasnoff, investigative reporter for the San Antonio Express News, talking about his investigation into the regulations and enforcement of quarries that are all around us, up in the Hill Country particularly. If you got a question, you can text us 833-877-8255. You could also send us an email to thesource@tpr.org. We'll be right back after this quick break. The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me today, Brian Chasnoff, investigative reporter for the San Antonio Express News. He has been looking at quarries in our area and their impact on the environment and the property owners around them. So, Brian Chasnoff, if a person like you were talking about in Blanco County, they have their own little Eden that they have created with their property, they're really happy with how things are going, and then suddenly a quarry opens up not far away, their stream is fouled, they get all this dust, they have all this noise, truck traffic all the time, lights, and all, it's just everything is just gone to heck. What kind of rights do these people have?
Well, when it comes to the TCEQ, they can complain, and that should trigger an investigation. And the TCEQ will go to the site, and they will determine whether or not the quarry has violated any existing rules. And if it has, then theoretically the TCEQ will issue a notice of violation. The thing about notices of violation, though, that I found interesting through my reporting was that each quarry has a compliance history report that you can request from the TCEQ to see how, you know, what sort of violations are taking place at this site. But there's a state law that allows any notice of violation to disappear from that public record after just 1 year. So that was an interesting aspect of it. So in addition to that, there's the TCEQ can elevate its enforcement if a quarry, if the violations are serious enough, and if theoretically they happen over and over again, to an enforcement action. And that's where the TCEQ would issue penalties and so forth. However, what I found was that's very infrequent. And even for some of these quarries that were repeatedly committing the same violations over and over again, there was no elevation of the TCEQ's enforcement process.
So there are some fed up people who want to do something about these quarries, the Texans for Responsible Aggregate Mining, TRAM, statewide coalition member groups. They're seeking to work with lawmakers, state agencies, and good faith industry operators to create state standards for these quarries and try to look out for the environment. And who in your reporting, who makes up the TRAM?
Well, you know, I met a few of them, and the most prominently featured in my story was a pecan farmer named Mark Friesenhahn, who he co-founded Tram back in 2019, pretty recently. He's an interesting guy because he spent three decades at ExxonMobil working in the oil and gas industry. And, you know, he's a limited government guy, low taxes, self-described conservative Republican. He moved back to the land that he was raised on in Comal County that was actually settled by his German ancestors, in the 19th century, to grow pecans. But he found himself suddenly surrounded by quarries that had just proliferated in the hill country around his property in the past 5-6 years. And so he began advocating, he and others have been advocating for stricter monitoring of these quarries for the past few years, the last couple of sessions. And really they've gotten nowhere despite a pretty broad bipartisan effort by certain lawmakers, but for example, a bill that would have incorporated a lot of recommendations to more tightly monitor quarries did not even make it out of committee this past session.
Other states have quarries, and they have adopted a set of rules, Comprehensive Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act, like standards, and these do call for environmental impact assessments, mine plans, reclamation of the land, water use planning, road use infrastructure planning. So this can happen. It happens in other states, but just not here in Texas.
That's right. And, I was fortunate that State Rep Terry Wilson, he's a Republican from Marble Falls, sat down with me and was very open with me about what he thought was the problem. And he believes there is too much deference paid to the industry, to the aggregates and concrete industry, by lawmakers, by these committees who debate whether or not a bill will even reach the floor. So in his view, the industry has far too much influence over the process.
Does all this quarry mining, they're mining limestone, and we know that limestone makes up the Edwards Aquifer. Does the aquifer in jeopardy at all?
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, one of the quarries that I focus on operates over the Edwards Aquifer Recharge Zone, and it was an example of how when quarries don't follow the rules, they can threaten the aquifer. This particular quarry that was in my story has repeatedly filled sensitive features, sealed sensitive features, the caves, the sinkholes, the cavities that recharge the aquifer without permission. They're supposed to get permission from the TCEQ before they do that. There are buffer zones that are established at these quarries where construction activity is supposed to be prohibited. And this particular quarry violated the buffer zones as well repeatedly. So it was an illustration of the issue that, despite the enforcement process, it just happens over and over again.
When the TCEQ does catch someone breaking the rules and the laws, they are able to issue fines. How are those fines? Is it small potatoes?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's tens. The ones that I've found, and the specific examples that I looked at were tens of thousands of dollars, which relatively is small potatoes for these operations.
So they would be able to do a risk cost analysis and say, hey, we could make a lot more money if we break these rules, and if the TCEQ catches us, and if they fine us, it's really not going to be. We can take that out of petty cash.
Well, far be it from me to assign malign intent to these quarries. I mean, what my reporting showed was that for whatever reason, whatever their motivations might be, it has repeatedly happened.
have an anonymous text. I used to work at Beckman Quarry at the Rim. When I was there, their large equipment would often leak entire tanks of hydraulic or transmission fluid in piles of rocks up to 100 gallons of oil. Instead of cleaning it up, they would just sell the rock or just let it sit there in areas of the quarry that people would rarely occupy. So we do know that there's oil, there's transmission fluid, there's ammonia nitrate from explosions also leaks out as well. So it's not just the limestone. There are some harsh chemicals involved.
That's right. That's why, especially over the aquifer recharge zone, you want to create buffer zones and you want to protect waterways and sensitive features. Exactly.
Moving forward, do you think TRAM will pick up some traction? Will people be fed up, or is this the business of Texas is business?
Well, I mean, I'm not the first reporter to, write an in-depth story about rock quarries. It's happened before, and it happened. These kind of stories have been written before the previous session, and they didn't get anywhere then. And I know that that TRAM and lawmakers such as Terry Wilson are determined to continue the fight. They're not going to stop. And Mark Friesenhahn in particular, he's a hard worker out there on his pecan farm, and he's also a very hardworking advocate for what he believes is a just cause. And they're going to keep going. So we'll have to see.
So what can people who live next to a nearby, within earshot, within smoke shot or dust shot of one of these quarries, they have no options, do they?
Well, like I said, the TCEQ is theoretically there to, as a conduit for them to ensure compliance. But a lot of the folks I spoke to feel very frustrated, and one of them described it as a very helpless feeling, because the TCEQ in some cases does come out and nothing is ultimately corrected.
I think this issue of crystalline silica is of concern. We know that emissions from concrete plants that produces crystalline silica, it's been linked to lung disease, chronic respiratory problems, silicosis, CPOD. Opponents argue that the TCEQ has not been transparent enough regarding letting the public know what kind of exposure they're dealing with.
Well, it's actually a pretty pitched debate. For example, the TCEQ, they did a study, I believe last year, where they set up air monitors near quarries, and they concluded, this is a report you can find online, they concluded that the overall contribution of particulate matter from these quarries is, quote, minimal or negligible. However, folks like Terry Wilson and Mark Friesenhahn will say that the minimal buffer between a residential area and a quarry is less than a mile. So there's, in addition to that, there's the question of whether there's a cumulative effect of clusters of quarries that are together. And if there's no actual monitoring of the air on site, then, folks feel like they're flying blind, and they actually don't know whether or not there are hazardous concentrations of particulate matter.
All right. Brian Chasnoff, investigative reporter for the San Antonio Express News, looking at quarries in our area. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by Jackie Velez and Xiaowen Chen. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.